is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Let's go.
Now, here's Adam, Dave, and Jamie.
Well, we said it last week. Patriots were going to win. We knew it. We knew it all along. Welcome to the show. It's Super Bowl Monday. Should be a holiday, but there's nothing we can do about that. Adam, Dave, and Jamie on Monday afternoon. FantasyFootball@CBSI.com is our email address. FantasyFootball@CBSI.com. Dave really wanted to do the show today, and he wants to talk about what we were thinking at various stages of last night's game. Isn't that right?
Yeah. I think this is going to go down as one of the three best Super Bowls of all time, and maybe like sporting events of all time.
Depends how you look at it, because a lot of people think it was terrible.
I think the ending
was phenomenal.
Yep.
It's the best Super Bowl ending of all time.
Sure. It's up there.
Would you say it's number one? I'm not sure it's the best game. Well, I really like Super Bowl 49.
I think it was climactic to the end of regulation, and I think once the Patriots won the coin toss, it was
over.
Considered a foregone conclusion.
Over. Yeah. I think the
ending itself of 49 was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
The ending of Rams Titans was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and those were game deciding play. And then you have the Patriots with the field goals too.
Yeah.
So in terms of James White scoring the touchdown at the end,
play
itself was not exactly the most dramatic.
Sure, sure.
But the comeback was ridiculous.
Right. So Seahawks Patriots is what you guys keep talking about. Super Bowl 49. I think that was a better game than this one.
I agree.
Yeah. And a lot of people would make that same argument. However, the second half was just the most ridiculous thing you could ever ask for.
It was sickening.
Did the Patriots earn it, or did the Seahawks? Did the Falcons choke it?
Both.
If you had to pick one side of the argument.
Patriots
earn it.
Dave, here's my thought. I really only look at one sequence. It was when the Falcons had the ball, 28-20, under 5 minutes to play.
Yep,
first and 10 at the 22-yard line of New England. They run the ball on first down. They lose a yard. Just keep running the ball, kick the field goal, go up two scores. Instead, a 12-yard sack, a holding penalty, and then they punt from the 45-yard line. That was it. I read Prisco's story about how this was the biggest choke job ever, and the fumble, you know, when Ryan got sacked and he fumbled, he said they shouldn't have been throwing the ball there. They're valid points. I think that there was a lot of time left in the game at that point. I don't want to get too conservative. Trust your offense. Devontae Freeman whiffed on the block. He didn't even see the guy coming around. They didn't execute. I think in terms of play calling, that was pretty much the only thing where I say the Falcons really choked and should have won. Other than that, I guess all the credit goes to the Patriots, in my opinion.
Well, it's also their defense. I mean, look, their defense played very well. It wasn't great because they gave up a lot of yards. They just didn't have a lot of points. But their defense got tired.
Yeah.
And you can make an argument that their defense choked. But in that same comment, you have to give credit to the Patriots because their offense was moving on them all over the place. They just weren't converting, and then they had the turnover.
I feel like it was a tale of two halves, where the first half, the Falcons were all over Tom Brady, and Brady was really struggling.
Oh, Grady Jarrett was the leader for MVP.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
If the Falcons had won, yeah.
He had three sacks. I mean, he was the big reason why Tom Brady wasn't connecting.
But they were making him uncomfortable.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And then in the second half, it was the other way around.
They couldn't get near him. The fourth quarter in overtime, they didn't touch him.
Right. And I don't look at it as the Falcons defense choked, because I never thought their defense was good enough to win the game anyway. So, and they were on the field in total over 40 minutes. Falcons had the ball for 23 minutes in this game. Both quarterbacks got sacked five times, which was surprising. But yeah, I mean, it falls on the Falcons offense, but also Patriots they played great. They did a good enough job on Julio. I mean, if he doesn't have that one amazing catch, who was that, over Logan Ryan or Eric Rowe?
I believe it was over Logan Ryan.
Yeah.
Unbelievable play. He's got a very modest game. Jones ended up with 4 for 87. And, I don't know. I couldn't believe it. And, all right, let's go through what we were thinking.
Well, you had the Julian Edelman catch too. I mean, let's not overlook just dramatic situations.
That was one other thing that I thought the Falcons screwed up. I don't remember exactly if the Patriots could have gotten another playoff before the 2 minute warning, but Edelman made that catch. And they challenged it with 2 minutes and 2 seconds left. and they wasted their last timeout. If they had waited two more seconds, I don't think the Patriots would have snapped the ball, but I'm not 100% on that. If they had waited two more seconds, look at the replay during the timeout. You can still challenge it. But if they had seen the replay, they would not have challenged it. It was an obvious catch. I understand they had to quickly do it, but I thought it was a bad decision. And then, after the touchdown to tie the game, they run the kickoff out of the end zone to get to the 11-yard line. If you take a knee and you don't challenge, you're at the 25 with 57 seconds left and a timeout. Instead,
and all you need is a field goal.
Instead, right, 52 seconds left, no timeout, ball at the 11-yard line. Why did he run the ball to the end zone? He didn't have a good return all game. That was
I think they had to challenge that catch, though, first of all.
But you could have waited, Dave, take another look at the two-minute warning.
You're thinking that if they don't challenge it, the clock runs down to 2 minutes left, then the referees can take control.
No. It has to be initiated by the Falcons, but you give yourself a commercial break to look at the play. The more you look at it, the more you realize it's not getting overturned.
And then you're not going to use the timeout.
Exactly.
But if the Patriots were going to snap the ball, they would have had to use their challenge.
If they were, yeah. I don't remember if they...
They did run to the line of scrimmage. I don't remember what exactly happened.
Right, so...
To squeeze out one more play. So I think Atlanta had to use it.
Well, I think New England's thought was it wasn't complete. So it was ruled a catch on the field. And their thought is get to the line, snap the ball before they do challenge.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And maybe overturn it.
Yeah, I'm going to look it up right now and see if I can find the clip and see if they would have gotten the play off before the 2 minute warning. But, anyway, 0-0 after the first quarter. What were your thoughts?
I had a feeling they'd come out tight, and that happens in most Super Bowls. So I wasn't surprised by it. It made me wish that I'd bet the under on the game.
That's what I was thinking.
Me too.
Under.
Yeah.
How mad would you have been if you had bet the under? Oh.
Almost as mad as if I had the Falcons +3 and they were winning 28-3.
Our video host was not very happy.
Or my brother-in-law. My poor brother-in-law.
A lot of people weren't happy.
A lot of people.
Yeah, I thought the Patriots had the advantage in the first quarter, even though it was 0-0. I still felt like they were going to win at that point.
Sure. I don't know if you could tell who was going to win based on, you know, a very tight nip and tuck first quarter. If there was one thing that I saw, I thought the Falcons' run game was,
oh my gosh,
was off to a really good start.
I thought Devontae Freeman was going for 200 yards.
Yeah, I thought that the Falcons could just kind of say, all right, well, we can run on them. Let's keep it up. And they did. I mean, Freeman scored the first touchdown.
You want to hear a funny story about
that? He set up his own touchdown in the second quarter.
You want to hear a funny story?
Yeah.
So I... Usually, you know, I like betting the Super Bowl just because I feel like it's a tradition. I make a small bet. But I didn't really have... Well, I felt like the Patriots were going to win, and I didn't want to bet on the Patriots and root for them. So I decided to make three prop bets. One of them was $5 to win $60 that a player would get ejected. So, you know, ridiculous, but I thought, would be fun, why not? I lost that. One of them was $10 to win like $11. LeGarrette Blount under 63 rushing yards or 62.5. I should have bet a lot more on that. There was no way he was going to do that. He has been playing so poorly. And he's actually, in fantasy terms, LeGarrette Blount, his last six games, has averaged about 3 yards per carry. The other one I took was, again, $10. Devontae Freeman under 53.5 rushing yards.
I'm taking that over.
Because the Patriots haven't allowed a 60-yard rusher in like 10 games.
Okay. All right.
And Alex Mack playing with a broken leg, and I didn't see him having a big game. His first run was what, like 35 yards or so? I was like, that's it. I'm done. Oops. So, yeah, that's my gambling story. Very funny.
Mine was, I don't bet on games. I've learned that lesson the hard way in college. And for whatever reason, I was feeling kind of, you know, antsy, went to my local casino here in Florida, and I had a really good day at the casino.
Ooh.
So my thought was, oh, you know, I've got all this extra money. Maybe I'll call up somebody I know who has a bookie or whatever, and I'll place a bet on the game. And I was going to bet on New England at the money line because I don't like the point stuff. And I couldn't get a hold of him. And so after the first two scores for Atlanta, and then it was 21-0 and then 21-3, I thought to myself, you know, thank heavens I couldn't get in touch with my buddy, because otherwise I would have, you know, lost whatever it would have been, $130, $140 to make that bet. Oops.
Yeah.
Turned out I would have won a little more money that day yesterday.
So what are you thinking at halftime when they're up? What was the score? 21-3?
21-3. My kids were going to bed. Strangers in my neighborhood were playing basketball on my hoop, and I had to shoo them away.
What?
I felt like such a mean, nasty old man.
You wouldn't let them play?
My kids are trying to sleep, and you know, there's like a ball bouncing. You know, I don't have that long of a driveway, so my kids are like ranting and raving, and my wife is saying, these kids need to go to sleep. They've got school tomorrow. It's a Sunday. So I have to go out there wearing a jacket, shorts, and shoes. And
please tell me it was a dress jacket, like a suit jacket.
It was my Skywalker sound jacket.
It wasn't cold.
What?
It wasn't cold.
I didn't have a shirt on. I should have just put on a shirt. I walk out there and I'm like, guys, I don't know any of these people. And one of these people playing on my hoop, it looked like Eddie Curry or something like that. Just like this giant of a man who probably like could have like touched me with his pinky and knocked me out for a week. So I'm like, guys, I'm really sorry. I got two kids sleeping upstairs. Can you please, you know.
Way to stand up, Dave. Way to take a stand.
How can you be cool doing this? You're a total jerk doing this, but at the same time, I got kids who need to sleep. So they were very nice and they left. And then I was worried that they would come back and destroy the hoop, because that's exactly what I would have done if I were in their shoes, and I probably did when I was a kid. But they never did. It was great. So kudos to neighbors who listen. That was my halftime. Did not see Lady Gaga. Did have to deal with my son going, well, what if they come back and break our hoop, Dad? I'm like, don't worry about it. It's insured, or whatever the hell I said. I don't know what I was doing without a shirt. I think I was like getting out of what I was wearing all day and getting ready to go to bed.
Hey, by the way, we're going to talk fantasy on this. We're going to do off-season questions for the Patriots and the Falcons. We also have a draft.
You know,
later.
You're not interested in my riveting story about what I wear at night.
I think we need to move on. So halftime comes. The party I was at, almost everybody left, which was great because there were a lot of kids and I couldn't really hear anything. So the second half, I actually finally got to sit down and watch, enjoy more. But Jamie, what were your halftime thoughts? 21-3.
Oh, I tweeted. I can't wait for the narrative. Tom Brady's done.
Oh, what a hot take that is.
Yeah, it was going to be coming fast and furious at that.
Were you wearing a shirt?
Yes.
Were you at a Super Bowl party?
Just had some family over at our house.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. And I was looking forward to Lady Gaga. I thought she was great.
Yeah, I wish the set list had been a little bit different, but she did a nice job. She's very talented.
Haven't we gotten used to the halftime show being a mix of a bunch of different artists? So then when there's only one artist,
I was surprised.
Show,
no cameos. Yeah.
Everybody's like, yeah, what's going on? Why no mashups or anything like that? But no, she was good.
Yeah,
she was definitely good. Good choreography.
Here's the thought I had.
I like the jokes, by the way, after she jumped off to catch the pass.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I didn't see them.
The Browns want to sign her up.
Here's the thought I had. I said the Falcons are going to basically handle or slash blowout in consecutive weeks the Seahawks, the Packers, and the Patriots. It's not fair because they weren't considered this going into the game and they didn't have the regular season of it, but they're playing like one of the all-time great teams in football history right now. Like, what I'm thinking, what is their place in history when they go on and destroy the Patriots in the Super Bowl? And then, you know, they didn't. That was the most.
Did any of you think that the Patriots would come back?
I thought they'd make it a game. I didn't think they'd win.
I thought they'd make it a game as well. I was hoping that it would get to one score in the fourth quarter.
Yep. I thought when it got to 28-20, they lose 31-24
or something. And you always want to give Belichick credit for halftime adjustments, which is why I didn't think the game was over yet. But my wife is a big Patriots fan and she was going, I can't believe this. This is ridiculous. How is this happening? You know,
you sure she was talking about the game or you with your shirt off?
She'd be saying other things with my shirt off. Mainly, put a shirt on. You're repulsive.
I can't believe this is happening. This is ridiculous.
So at what point did you think the Patriots were going to win? I think once they scored to make it 28-20, I actually think I felt like they were going to win. I didn't think the...
Oh, 28-12.
The Hightower fumble recovery. Or the forced fumble.
Yeah.
The sack of Matt Ryan. Yeah. Hightower's play.
When it got to 28-12, I was like, uh-oh. The math is just lining up too perfectly.
Yep.
But it still seemed like it would be a lot. Because how often do we see teams down by 15 or 16? Where you know a two-point conversion comes
I thought it was going to end up being they needed three scores at that point still. I thought that the Falcons would get a field goal and that they would still need two touchdowns,
right.
two two-point conversions and a field goal. I thought they'd end up losing, but I thought that's the math that was going to end up happening.
Yeah. Remember when every Super Bowl sucked?
Well, how about Dan Quinn being on the losing end of two of the toughest losses ever?
Mm, yeah. But kids that are growing up right now, even like someone like me, they don't know how good we had it. Like, when I was growing up, the Cowboys were killing everybody. The Niners destroyed the Chargers. The Super Bowls just weren't that close.
It started with your team's first one, really.
No, I mean, well, okay. I think it started with the Rams Titans and the Rams Patriots. Like, those were uber close.
Oh, you mean the good ones? I'm talking about the bad ones. You know, the Bears Patriots one was a blowout. The Giants Broncos one was a blowout.
Oh, that all went way back then. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. The 80s didn't have a lot of great ones, did it?
No, they were awful.
Can't we say that two of the last four Super Bowls have been kind of dudsy?
Yeah, but I think overall they've been tremendous Super Bowls.
There have been the majority of the last 10 Super Bowls have been very good.
Well, look, it helps when you have marquee guys in it. So you had the narrative, whether it was a bad game or not, of Peyton going out, winning the Super Bowl mm-hmm. last year. You have Brady every year; he seems to be in the Super Bowl. But you know, when you have those guys, and I think the narrative matters, and so. You know, Brady going for five, the whole situation with Goodell, you know, against, you know, not necessarily a true underdog team because the Falcons, like you said, Adam, have just come off two straight pretty impressive victories. But they're really nationally not a team that a lot of people could identify with outside of really Matt Ryan and Julio Jones.
I couldn't find a clip of the Edelman catch, but he caught the ball with about 222 left or around 220. So I'm going
to
guess.
So the Patriots are running another play.
Yeah, I'm going to guess they had to use the challenge, which
yes,
is fine.
Because they did. I know for a fact they ran right to the line of scrimmage because I watched the play several times.
They're down 8 points. They've got to get up to the line. They've got the clock to worry about.
But it's not just the clock. It's also that they have to make sure that play counts without the Falcons challenge.
Right.
Right.
And that forced them to challenge and use the timeout.
Right.
It's all, for all reasons that make sense.
Okay.
They had to rush.
But I still maintain, do not run the ball out of the end zone. You cost yourself 14 important yards there.
I wonder though if that's on Quinn and the coaches or if that's Hardy did that on his own.
Oh yeah, I totally not blaming the coaches for that. It was a mistake. I think it was Weems.
Well, it could be the coaches. They could have said, okay, we've seen something, blah, blah, blah. You gotta go.
I think it was Weems, by the way, on the kick. I think it was Weems on the kick return.
Oh, I'm sorry, Weems.
Yeah.
I'll somebody who should never be returning a kickoff return out of the end zone ever.
Yeah, it was Weems.
Is he? Do you know Eric Weems is a great kickoff return guy?
No.
Nope.
No.
Okay.
Good special teams player, utility player, but not.
From a fantasy standpoint, let's look.
We
at
had just to kind of transition. We had two potential injury scares with a Tevin Coleman ankle injury, and Deion Lewis looked like he tore his ACL.
Oh my God. And now and he's saying it's just like a hamstring and he's going to be okay?
Yep.
Good. Good for him. What do we know about Coleman?
He came back to the field. He came back to the bench. So
what was the injury?
Ankle. He got his ankle rolled up on.
All right. So both these guys should be fine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But when did the Deion Lewis injury occur?
It was
the last play of regulation.
Last play of regulation.
Oh, okay.
So it looked like the Patriots were going to take a knee and then they turned it into a running.
Oh. Play. Yeah, that was my bathroom
break.
He just
like kind of stepped awkwardly on the field
and just jumped out of bounds.
I heard them talking about it.
It was his right. I don't remember which leg he tore the ACL, but it was his right plant leg, and mm-hmm. it just locked into place.
Yeah,
it looked worse than a hamstring.
It looked like how guys tear their ACL without mm-hmm. being contact.
Yep.
Without contact.
Yeah, I also brought the French onion dip, so just letting you guys know, it was really good.
No way, it was as good as. The spinach and artichoke dip my wife made.
By the way, kudos to Sketcher Doodle for the drawing last week.
What was the drawing again?
We've given him so much material already on this show for more sketches.
You with the Risky Business.
The yes. Cat.
That was awesome. And then the most tweeted at me, the most mentions I got were...
Hooper and Stranger Things.
Yeah, Hoopa, right, and Stranger Things. Right. Totally. But thank you for that. Okay, so from a fantasy perspective, let's talk about Atlanta and then Patriots. Impact
well,
of
you could,
Kyle...
you could pencil in Atlanta for being 0-1.
Because they play at...
They'll play at New England to open season.
Do you think that'll be what they actually open the season with? Do you think the Falcons will want that? Or do you think the Falcons will get a Monday night game to open the season with because they have the new stadium?
Do I think the Falcons will want that? I think the NFL will want that. Look at the rest of the Patriots' home schedule opponents. They're terrible.
Okay. So anyway.
They have the Broncos. Oh, that's in Denver. Their home games, Bills, Jets, Dolphins, Texans, Chiefs, Chargers, Falcons, Panthers.
For the love of Pete.
Could be the Chiefs.
Can I please speak and move this show along? So Kyle Shanahan will be the 49ers' next head coach. What impact will that have on the Falcons' offense, as Matt Ryan was the number two quarterback in fantasy, threw for 4,900 yards, 38 touchdowns, 7 picks?
It really comes down to how they replace Shanahan in Atlanta. And it's a pretty big deal. If they, you know, just promote one of their other guys into offensive coordinator, that's okay. But I think Kyle Shanahan has proved over his time in Houston, then Washington and Atlanta, that he's really good at this. He's really good at maximizing the talent that's given to him. And without him there, I could see this offense taking a step back, especially if it goes to somebody that doesn't have a lot of experience, maybe somebody who's completely new. If they go from outside the organization and they find somebody to replace Kyle Shanahan, who's not currently on the team, I think there could be a definite decline there. And it could be significant depending on who it is.
Well, there's going to be natural regression. I mean, that just happens when you see a spike in production like what this Falcons offense had. And so I think Ryan, I don't know where you have ranked, Dave. For me, he's fifth. I still like Rodgers, Luck.
I think he's fourth for me.
Brady and Breeze ahead of him. So I'm very confident in those four guys being better than Matt Ryan next year. And I think they're still going to be very good. It's just they're going to be a little bit of a downtick. So, you know, the play caller will certainly be a big part of it. But even if Shanahan was still there, I'd still feel the same way.
Now, Matt LaFleur is their current quarterbacks coach. I know absolutely nothing about Matt LaFleur, but I think I read that the 49ers were interested in bringing him in with Shanahan.
Shanahan probably takes some guys.
It could be a huge raid from Atlanta's coaching closet that could lead to some big time changes. I'm not sure this is going to be easy for the Falcons.
Hey, remember when you raided your closet when you had to kick those guys off your basketball court?
It was it wasn't a whole court. It was just my street.
Yeah. Here's a concern I have for the Falcons. It's the Panthers' concern. It's the Panthers went through 2015. With a good, healthy offensive line. That changed. They really regressed. The Falcons had amazing luck on their offensive line until the fourth quarter of the Super Bowl, I guess, and the NFC Championship game. But they stayed healthy. They had same continuity all year long. That probably also helped, definitely helped contribute to the career year for Ryan and for the offense. So you got to figure that won't be as good, and that will be part of the natural regression, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, something to keep in mind. Okay, next offseason question for the Atlanta Falcons. Which running back will have better draft value? First, let's establish in a 12-team league what round we think Freeman will go in and which round we think Coleman will go in, and then who will have better value?
Freeman's a late first, early second round pick.
I think he's straight up second round. I don't think he's a top 12 guy. And I think Coleman is a fourth round guy.
Yeah, I would say Coleman's more of a fifth or sixth round guy.
Well, okay, let me rephrase it. I would love to have Tevin Coleman in the fifth or sixth round, but I think somebody's going to be running back hungry in round four, and they'll take him then.
Freeman was the number seven running back in standard, but number four in PPR. I do think he's going to be a first-round pick for a lot of people, but yeah, second as well. Right, so like, I don't know, somewhere from 10 to 15.
He's going in the first 15 picks. There's no doubt about it. After two consecutive years of being very good.
Yeah. And 4.8 yards per carry. So what, who will have better value?
Freeman.
Dave?
You're telling me that Coleman's going in the fourth round? It's definitely Freeman. And if he goes, if Freeman goes in the second, absolutely Freeman.
Can he do it for a third year in a row? Will he get those opportunities?
If Alex Mack is healthy, yes.
Alex Mack should be healthy.
He's their preferred goal line guy. He's their preferred receiving downs guy. Both guys catch the ball. Both guys work at goal line. So
right.
Like
I mean, that's the problem. I don't know if there's a preferred anything.
Oh, he's still the top guy there.
But it, but by how much of a margin?
Oh, I'd say it's still 60-40 at worst.
Okay, but that's still not.
It's enough for him to
makes
finish.
Me feel good as a fantasy owner.
It's still enough for him to finish seventh this year, right? And Coleman was 18th, 19th, something like that.
But, Coleman was actually more consistent.
Coleman missed some time.
Played, right, he missed some games.
And he got hurt in the Super Bowl. He's going to be an injury-prone guy the rest of his career.
There's no question Freeman should go ahead of Coleman. It's a matter of when you get him. If it's round two, then I think you're fine. I would not be thrilled with Devontae Freeman as a first-round pick. Not even a late first-round pick in PPR.
Oh, easily in PPR as a first-round pick.
I don't know.
He's my fourth best running back in PPR.
What are we doing today? A standard draft?
Yep. In our last draft, he went in the first round too.
Okay, I'm going to give a couple of stats. In the 9 games after Tevin Coleman returned from injury, including 3 postseason games, 6 regular season, 3 postseason, Devontae Freeman averaged 19 touches per game. Coleman averaged 12 touches per game. That's a good thing for Freeman. The bad thing is, in the last 5 games, he did not have more than 14 carries, Devontae Freeman. It felt like they were evening it out a little bit more down the stretch. But 19 touches per game with Tevin Coleman in the last 9 games after he returned from injury. I mean, 19 touches per game is incredible.
And there was one game there where he didn't really play at all.
It's true. Yeah. He had like 6 carries.
Yeah, it was the blowout victory against the 49ers, maybe?
Next question for the Falcons. Last question. Worth drafting anyone in the passing game other than Ryan and Julio Jones?
Definitely.
Who?
We're talking at any point in the draft?
Yeah, 14 round, 15 round draft.
Yeah, there's no question taking shots on Taylor Gabriel, Mohamed Sanu, and Austin
Hooper
are worth doing. Those guys are going to be contributors. If you're looking for consistency out of them, I don't think you're going to get it. But they are all players who have a spot as either, you know, flexes in a deeper league, flexes in a PPR league, or bench stash. Yeah. Which
but
is what
Sanu,
is.
Sanu had a bad game in the Super Bowl, but the 2 previous games he was very good.
Yeah,
he absolutely should be drafted.
He did not
Gabriel,
have.
You know, look, the stretch that he had in the middle of the season is never going to be replicated by him. But he will be one of those players I think is more so suited for the waiver wire than the draft. I would take a shot on Sanu late. Gabriel, I'd wait to pick up off waivers.
I think what you just said is kind of how I feel. I feel like these are waiver wire guys. Unless we feel like Gabriel has untapped potential, could be a really good player. Like we probably feel that way about Malcolm Mitchell. I think Sanu is who he is. And Hooper, yeah, whatever. I mean,
no, I think Hooper's got potential to elevate.
But don't you feel like you have to see it first before you? Aren't there 12 to 15 tight ends?
I think if they let Jacob Tamby walk, which I don't know what his free agent says.
He is. He could walk.
You know that Laviine Tololo is not a receiving threat for them. Hooper was drafted to kind of fill that Tony Gonzalez role that they've been missing for the last couple of years.
I don't object to him being a late round pick.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not at all. Same thing with Gabriel.
If you miss on your tight end of choice and you're looking to play the early season roulette game, he's got the potential outside of probably that week one game against New England.
Why? He just scored on New England.
To help you, yeah.
Okay. Let's go to the Patriots then. Patriots offseason questions. Will Tom Brady ever get old?
I mean, eventually.
Well, has it happened yet?
He looked old in the first half against Atlanta.
He looked old on the offered interception.
Yeah.
That was a bad play.
There's reasonable concern that he's going to have some bad games eventually. I don't know if it's going to be right away, but he still works in an offensive system that A, won't change. Coordinators won't change. Playbook won't change. Receivers won't change very much. He'll get Gronkowski back theoretically for the start of next season. what's not to like about Tom Brady other than the fact that he's old? Now, that might be a big strike against him, but he's going to be 6 months older than he is right now. I have a hard time believing he's going to completely fall off a cliff.
It happens. That's the unfortunate thing, is when it happens at that spot, it happens, and it happens dramatically. I think the telling thing will be this offseason if they do something with Jimmy Garoppolo's money, because Belichick's history is get rid of a guy 1 year before he's done. So if they decide that they're going to invest in Garoppolo, that will be something that, you know, is telling about where the direction of their team is going. Or if they trade Garoppolo and they feel like, well, we still got another 2, 3, 4, 5 years of Tom Brady being at this level, we can cultivate another guy. Maybe it's Jacoby Brissett. Who knows? So follow Garoppolo's path, and that could give you some indication about how you should feel about Brady. But look, I think he averaged 25.8 fantasy points per game last year. He'll be in that range again.
Do you think there's any type of a chance that Garoppolo stays with the Patriots this offseason?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If they decide to...
Do you think there's a chance of that happening?
Yes, for sure.
Interesting. Why wouldn't they? Because they can get potentially a first-round pick for Jimmy Garoppolo.
Well, if the offer is overwhelming, they're going to trade him. But you're asking me, do I think there's a chance? Yes, I think there's a chance. Why would they not plan on this guy being the heir to Tom Brady?
Because they can get a first-round pick.
But
for
if they
now.
Don't... The only team that presumably will do
then
that
sure,
right now
then
you
could hang on to him. But I think just with the draft class being a bunch of question marks and the free agency class not being what it is. And
sure, we had this conversation last week. I told you, on the Browns, I'm giving up 12 to get him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So if
they believe that he's their guy.
You really think on a more football than fantasy subject, I know that Belichick is good at getting rid of players before it's obvious that he should be getting rid of them. I do think he'd carve out an exception for Tom Brady. I don't think they ever get rid of Brady.
Of course. I think it's more telling about what they think of Garoppolo than what they think of Brady.
Sure. That's a great point. Okay. Next question for the Patriots. Brady. Your enthusiasm level for Deion Lewis, who has not lost a game when he's been active for the Patriots, 17-0. Enthusiasm level for Deion Lewis next year.
I think you're going to get him at a reduced price now because James White, of what the game that he put on.
It's interesting how much that ends up carrying over to next year. I think the bigger narrative isn't, wow, James White had the Super Bowl. It's Belichick and his running backs, and he's going to be fickle, and it's going to be one guy 1 week and one guy the next week. And I think that that's how people kind of look at Patriots running backs.
The biggest thing is LeGarrette Blount.
Right. We don't know for sure if he's going to be back in New England.
If he's back, then you got to look at Lewis as kind of mid to late round guy.
Wow. I don't think that's like a round 9-ish.
I would start to look at him in the round 7 range.
That's the middle of the draft. That's fine. I wonder if there's going to be people who go after him even sooner.
Yeah, I think there's a case to be made. Do you think the James White thing was just because of the score?
Well, they talked about it after the game that he said coming into the game that how they play and how Dan Quinn's defense was, they expected it to operate, which played out that way. Again, according to James White, he said he was going to have a big role. So he said one thing that he did was watch, because he was inactive in the previous Super Bowl game, he watched how they used Shane Vereen and how Vereen played, and he tried to mimic that.
14 catches.
Super Bowl record.
It's kind of interesting that they're not letting Deion Lewis back into that role.
I don't know if he was ever in that role this year.
No. Last year he was, though.
Sure. Because James White wasn't a factor.
I think that's telling about James White and how much they're willing to trust him now. And Belichick talked up how much he's improved over the last year.
Sure. I would honestly, from a fantasy perspective, like to see LeGarrette Blount gone and no one of significance added.
So it's Deion Lewis and James White.
Yep.
Yeah, I think Blount's on his last legs.
I could see them, though, going another aging veteran like a McFadden type of guy. You know, guy
right, they're not
late.
The type of team that's going to splash on Latavius.
Oh, no.
Could Doug Martin be their guy if he shakes free from Tampa Bay?
Sure. That's a good reclamation project and a good landing spot for Martin. I would like, honestly, just to see how Lewis could do. You know, he was very good last year when he had the, you know, somewhat of a featured role before LeGarrette Blount came back. So it would be nice to see Lewis and White as the, you know, change of pace third down guy, and then maybe somebody else behind them just to see, you know, an emerge, like, you know, how they have used Brandon Bolden in the past.
Are you taking James White before round 10?
In PPR.
Oh, in PPR, it's a no-brainer. What about standard?
No.
Not in standard? Hmm. I might just have that depth, and he might end up being the best Patriots running back to have next year.
Why? He has not done anything.
Because of just his, and I'm not talking about.
You're falling in love with one game, though.
I'm not trying to. I'm just saying the fact that he's seemingly their best passing downs back right now, and this is a team that throws the ball a lot. I think there's value there in round 10. Might as well.
Well, no, you said before round 10.
Okay. In round 10. Maybe even round 10.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Double digit rounds for sure. I think then he comes into the conversation. But I think before round 10 in the standard league, no. Because, look, you're talking to the guy that made the mistake on Shane Vereen. You know, I thought that was going to be the situation for him. They throw the ball a lot. He's their passing downs guy. He had some big games in the playoffs that year. Had some big games the year before.
Right. But there's a difference between chasing that in round 4 versus round 9 or round 10.
Of course. Yeah.
Right.
Thoughts on the wide receivers for the Patriots. Our last Patriots offseason question. There's going to be some nice enthusiasm for Malcolm Mitchell. Julian Edelman, just another 98 catch, 1,100-yard season, only 3 touchdowns. I think he had 7 touchdowns in 9 games in 2015 and 3 touchdowns in 16 games in 2016. So that's very strange. But he's obviously still very good at his role. Edelman was
He probably has 5 touchdowns if Brady plays a full 16.
Okay, yeah. Edelman, number 22 wide receiver in standard, about 15th or 16th in PPR. Yeah, give me your thoughts on the Pats wide receivers in 2017.
Edelman, I think, is still going to be the best one. Makes sense. He gets the most targets. He's the only one that's really a candidate for over 1,000 yards. And then just the fact that they seem pretty loaded at wide receiver right now makes me nervous about targeting Malcolm Mitchell, who I like as a player, but I think his big games are going to be too few and far between.
And he didn't really take off until Hogan. Gronk got hurt.
Right, and then he fluttered even after that.
Sure, but he got hurt too.
Right, so I still think it's going to be the Edelman and Gronk show.
Yeah, those other guys are late round guys. You know, they're better. I feel more comfortable with Malcolm Mitchell than I would with Sanu or Gabriel. I'd say Chris Hogan's probably closer to Sanu or Gabriel. But, yeah, there's still, I think it's clear pecking order, like Dave said. It's Edelman and it's Gronk, and we'll see what they do with Martellus Bennett.
Well, I guess my case for Malcolm Mitchell is we don't know how good he could be. He might be a really good player. It's ready to break out. This was his rookie season, and he showed some flashes, so. I don't know. Do you guys think he's the kind of talent that could?
We didn't see it when Gronk was healthy. That's the one thing. And he had the elbow injury in training camp that carried over to the beginning part of the season. That was part of it. He got hurt at the end of the season, you know, really didn't make an impact until the Super Bowl, you know, didn't really do much in the 2 playoff games either. So, there's still some things to figure out with what they're going to do. And hopefully Gronk is 100% come, you know, start training camp.
And this is another example of talent versus opportunity in fantasy football. I think he's a talented wide receiver.
Sure.
I think if he were on a different team in a different offense, a team that utilizes outside receivers more than the Patriots do, he would have great opportunities to be a difference maker might be too strong of a word, but a guy who could help your fantasy team.
He could probably do, he probably could have had a rookie season, maybe like, he probably did. I forget what I was going to say.
Okay.
But as far as could he get 1,000 yards in New England anytime soon?
Not when everybody's healthy.
No. And I don't think he can get you any more than, you know, 3, 4, 5 touchdowns. So I love the talent, but the opportunities just won't be there for him.
Well, look, I'll tell you, a $20 discount probably wouldn't have gotten you much in terms of Super Bowl tickets if you were going to that game. So then it would have been like,
no
you know.
Way. No way. $20 discount.
Probably not.
Super Bowl tickets?
But most of the time, a $20 rebate on tickets is pretty sweet, and that's why we have SeatGeek for you, the best app in the business. SeatGeek has created an amazing app and website that makes it easier than ever for fans to buy and sell tickets. We all have the SeatGeek app on our phones. I go there all the time. Anytime I need tickets, it is the first place I go because it's basically like going to 5 or 6 different places to search for tickets. SeatGeek does all that work for you. They price compare for you. They search multiple ticket sites, ensure you're always getting the best possible deal. With our offer code FFT, you get that $20 rebate. I'll tell you about that in a second. But SeatGeek is going to give you a grade on every seat based on value. You're going to immediately see any underpriced seats, be able to find the best deals that fit your budget. So, yeah, like we said, Our listeners get this offer, a $20 rebate off your first SeatGeek purchase. Download the SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab, click add a promo code, and the promo code is FFT, as in Fantasy Football Today. SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. Download the SeatGeek app, enter the promo code FFT. Okay, let's finish off with some Steelers news that we did not get to last week. I know we were talking about these Patriots and Falcons. By the way, did you know that I read this in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution? Pittsburgh and Buffalo were two markets that had better ratings than both the, I don't know, Boston market, whatever the New England market would be, and Atlanta. So more higher percentage of homes in Pittsburgh and Buffalo watched than anywhere else in the country. What do you think about that?
Interesting.
Yeah, football towns there. So what did you make of their president speaking last week about extending Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown, trying to keep things status quo, but it's been a fairly, with Ben Roethlisberger talking about retirement, fairly tumultuous week or two weeks for the Steelers. What do you guys think about all this?
Nothing.
Right? It does seem like much to do about nothing.
Well, I mean, we have to wait and officially see that Roethlisberger will be back, but I think that's the case. I think that's the expectation.
There's a better chance of you walking around shirtless in here than him retiring.
Wait, me walking around shirtless or Dave?
No,
me?
Dave.
All right, if you say so.
Who would you rather see shirtless?
Anybody else but me.
I've seen you shirtless.
I don't want to see me shirtless, and I am me.
Yeah,
I've seen
okay.
you shirtless, and I've seen Dave's belly.
I want to see Dave's belly.
You want to see it on the webcam?
Yeah, do it now.
You want a little truffle shuffle action?
Dave.
You're looking.
You know that your webcam doesn't work.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, that'd be even funnier.
Oh, my God.
Why do you have to stop it?
I don't see anything. I see a black screen.
He's doing the truffle shuffle.
For nothing.
Maybe that's your belly button.
I can FaceTime you, Adam.
Okay, so no Steelers news, really. And do you think Carson Palmer might retire?
No.
Boring offseason.
I don't think so.
When do you start digging into your NFL draft prep?
Yesterday. I mean,
sorry. Oh, Dave is FaceTiming me right now, so I can see his...
You want to see this or not?
Yeah, let's take a look.
No, you're not recording this.
I have to record it.
I'm not doing that. I'm chickening out.
Like video recording?
Oh, yeah.
Dave hung up. All right. I guess that's
you called my bluff.
Well, listen.
I would go outside my own house shirtless to shoo away people playing basketball.
We've got a draft coming up today. We're going to talk about it later on in the week. Anything else you want to bring up? But guys, we're running out of time, running out of steam here.
I'm missing football already.
Stop talking. I want to go eat lunch before the draft.
Oh, what are you going to have for lunch?
Chicken wings. My wife made chicken wings last night.
Mine did too.
Yes.
That's incredible.
And I did not have any pizza, so that sucked. Thank you for listening, everybody. Congratulations to the Patriots.
Well, I'm
going to
see you this week.
Oh, yeah. We're hanging out on Saturday.
All right.
Awesome.
You, me, and Nando.
Yeah. And the wives.
I can't wait to watch Nando torture you in person.
Nando is ridiculous. Nando proposes the worst. All right. Forget it. Never mind. He got the worst bars in the world. So for Dave and Jamie and Nando, I'm Adam. Thank you all for listening, and again, congratulations to the Patriots, and their fans must be just on top of the world today. Awesome feeling. Good stuff. Sorry to all the Falcons fans, but you know what? There's always next year, right? So thanks for listening to Fantasy Football Today.
Wow,
we're back later in the week.
Consolation. Bye.